All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation, chapter 1, for tonight's message. Revelation. And I will begin reading in verse 7. Revelation chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 7. Verse 7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." I want to speak to you tonight about the Apostle John. I preached from 3 John this morning, and while I was preparing that message, I started thinking about John and just his life. I mentioned to you this morning that John penned 5 books in the New Testament. We have the Gospel of John, which is a standalone gospel. It is all by itself. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the synoptics. Synoptic means similar. They are similar to each other. They basically tell the same account of Christ, only put the emphasis upon a different aspect of our Lord's person. John stands alone. John represents Jesus as the Son of God, and he knew him as the Son of God. There was no doubt in John's mind that Jesus was who he claimed to be. And then John wrote 3 epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then this book, the book of the Revelation. And so one sermon led to the other. And I want to take these verses tonight. I ask you to keep your Bible open and preach. I want to preach a message tonight. I'm going to entitle John on Patmos. John on Patmos. Let's pray and then the message. Father, we thank you so much for your blessing and your love, your grace, your goodness. Thank you for allowing us the privilege to be here tonight to hear the music and to hear the Word of God. And Father, if we just would stop and realize there are people all over the world that would do anything and give anything they have to be in a service like we're in tonight. And so I pray you'll help us to enter into the spirit of the service and just allow the Word of God to help us. And Father, I pray you'll speak to hearts tonight and draw all of us into a closer walk of fellowship with you. We read in this passage of Scripture, in this 7th verse, that the promise that you are coming back to this world. And Father, we realize that the day of the Lord is at hand. And I pray as we think on these things tonight that our hearts will, as the Emmaus Road disciples, burn within us as we hear your word. So Father, bless us tonight. I pray for your blessing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The Apostle John, as all of you, I'm sure, know, I've preached from it and taught you this, but he was always by the side of our Lord. Everywhere Jesus went, John was right there. At every turn of the road, John was there beside the Lord Jesus. Even when the Lord Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary and all the others had fled, John was there. He was there. You'll remember that it was John and his brother James whose mother asked for a seat at the right hand of the Lord Jesus when he would sit upon the throne of David during the millennium. And Jesus said, "You don't know what you're asking." But I think when we all get to heaven, I don't think any of us will be a bit surprised to see 3 men standing not far from the throne upon which our Lord is sitting. And those 3 men will be Peter, James, and John. But here in this final book of the Bible, this final book of the New Testament, it was granted to John the privilege to see the glory of heaven and the kingdom of God. And John was told to write down all that he was about to be privileged to see. And folks, if you've read this book, and I'm sure you have, it is amazing what John saw. Now, John's friendship with the Lord Jesus began on the day that he heard John the Baptist point his finger at the Savior and say out loud for everyone to hear, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And I'm telling you, John never forgot that day. And now, probably a half a century later, John is on the Isle of Patmos, and he receives this great vision of the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is well documented in history that John spent a good part of his life and ministry as the pastor of the church in the great city of Ephesus. There was another fellow the same time, maybe a little later, but about the same time as John, whose name was Polycarp. You may have read about him or heard about him in history. His name was Polycarp, and he was the pastor of the church in the city of Smyrna. And the Romans eventually had all of him they could handle, and they burned him at the stake. But when they did, he left behind some very accurate records of John's teaching and stories about John and his preaching ministry at Ephesus. What we know about John at Ephesus did not come from the Bible. They came from the writings of Polycarp, who was a contemporary, just a little bit younger than John, but a contemporary in the neighboring city of Smyrna. Now, one of the stories that came from the writings of Polycarp tells how that John was that when one of his converts had gotten away from the Lord and started running around with the wrong crowd, he joined up with a band of thieves, and they would come into the city and they would attack, and then they would retreat back into their lair, back into their mountainous hideout. And the story went that John got so burdened for this fella that he went after him and found him in the mountains and went in amongst the thieves, who were scared to death to touch him for fear of what God might do to them. And John went and got on his knees before this man and prayed out loud for God to bring him back into the fold. And in just a few minutes, that man got on his knees, repented of his sin, and walked back to town with John and got right with God and with his community. In another story from Polycarp, it says that when John was too old and feeble to walk or to preach, the church folks would carry him on a cot and bring him to church. And when the service was over, the pastor would ask if John would give the benediction. And those men that carried him to church would then carry him to the front of the church and prop him up on that cot. And John would look out at the people and hold up his hands to bless the crowd and would just weep and say, "Little children, love one another. Little children, love one another." Over and over and over, with the tears streaming down his cheeks, that was his benediction. You'll remember that the Bible tells us that James and John, brothers, were called the sons of thunder. And certainly, John could be that. He could be that thunder that if he needed to be. There was one story told about him that he was at the public bath in Ephesus. Now, back in the first century, you did not have running water in your home. All right? Running water was what you ran down to the well to get and bring back. Okay? There was no such thing as running water. And public baths in that day were common. There was nothing deviant about it. It's just the way it was. And so John was at one of these public baths, and this was while he was pastoring the church. And a well-known heretic came over and introduced himself. And his name was Cerinthus, C-E-R-I-N-T-H-U-S, Cerinthus. And he introduced himself to John, and John and this man began to discuss Christianity and God and Jesus and the truth. And John suddenly just grabbed all of his belongings and got out of that huge stone building where this bath was located. And folks were startled, and some of them followed him out the door. And they asked him, "Why are you in such a great hurry?" And John said, "Well, I was in there trying to win that heretic to Christ, that unbeliever to Christ, and he was so blasphemous, I was afraid that the roof was going to fall in on that heretic, and so I was afraid for my life, so I got my stuff and got out of there before God killed him." Now, you talk about a man that had some conviction. Our author had some conviction. So here in this passage, John is on the Isle of Patmos, and it is here where he has the vision of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, this revelation that he had prompted, as you can see in this first chapter, prompted a conversation between John and the Lord Jesus. And that's what the book of the Revelation is all about. It is a conversation between John and the Lord Jesus. And I want you to think about that conversation tonight. The first thing I want you to notice is this. Let's consider the vision. Let's just think about this vision that John received. John is on Patmos as a prisoner. He is free to walk around, but he's free to walk around because you cannot escape this prison. This prison was a rock out in the Mediterranean Sea, and you were there to work. The Romans used Patmos as a penal colony, and you were there to work in the mines. John is an old man, and yet he was put on this rock, this island, as punishment for preaching the gospel. Tradition says, and I've taught you this before, but tradition says that John was found guilty of treason by the Romans and was sentenced to die by being boiled in oil. And that when they took him and threw him in the cauldron, that it knocked the cauldron over and dumped him out. Now, burned, scalded, scarred, no doubt infected, John was then sent to Patmos to die. And it was while he was there to die, an old man, probably in his 90s, probably, don't know that for sure, but probably just running what timeline is available, he was probably close to 90 years of age. And it is on this island in prison when he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. And when he turned around to see who was speaking to him, that's when he saw his old friend, Jesus. We're told in the text that Jesus was standing there, but he was a little different in appearance. We're told that his hair was white like wool, as white as snow. And John said that in his right hand he had seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Can I just say to you that that's the Word of God? And John, when he saw this, fell at his feet as though he were dead. But Jesus lifted him up and told him not to fear. So I take it that John's collapse was because he was absolutely scared to death of what he saw. And he was frozen in fear. And Jesus identified himself and told John to write. And what John wrote was is the great book of the Revelation. The apocalypse, the unveiling, the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. What John heard is, listen to me now, what John heard is the last message of Christ to the believers. The last message Jesus gave. Think of it, Christian, not until Jesus comes again will he speak with man as he spoke with John on that island. If Jesus speaks to any of us now, he speaks to us through this, through the Word. Never has anybody had Jesus speak to them like John did. Now, do you remember when Jesus predicted the martyr death for Peter? Remember that? And Peter impulsively asked, well, what's going to happen to John, this John? Peter said, well, I'm going to die one day. A martyr's death. What about John? What's going to happen to him? Do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? And you know, he was the only one that was still alive. All the rest of the disciples, including Peter, had all died. They had all died, every one of them, a martyr's death. All of the other disciples were gone. John was the only one still alive. And in a certain sense, one might be able to say that John did, or that Jesus, I had it right the first time. One might say that John did live until Jesus come. You could say that. He was permitted to see the scroll of the future as Jesus unrolled that scroll for him. Jesus showed John the church age. He showed him the rapture. He showed him the tribulation. He showed him the glorious return. He showed him the millennial reign. He showed him the great white throne judgment. He showed him the new heaven and the new earth. He saw it all. Think about that. Now, let's look at what John saw when he was up on the mountain and he had that vision. We're told in 4:1, chapter 4 and verse 1, that John again heard a trumpet. And when he looked, he saw a door that was opened in heaven. And looking through that door, what did he see? Oh, friend, think about it. I mean, just think about it. When John looked through that door, he saw the throne of God Almighty. Wow. I mean, he saw heaven. He saw the throne. He said it was like a sardine stone and a jasper, and there was a rainbow round about it. And before the throne and before him that sat upon the throne, 24 elders fell down to worship. There were four mysterious creatures that he couldn't even describe what they were. He didn't know nothing on earth like these. And they were full of eyes, he said, constantly singing praise to the creator of the universe. Wow. Can you imagine that? You know, we sit and we read this book and we just blow right over its words. We don't stop and think about what is there. And just imagine it, folks, what John must have felt in his heart when he looked at that. Wow. And then in quick and overwhelming succession, the great signs and wonders began to unfold before John's eyes. And as they unfold, John was just writing as fast as his little fingers would allow him to write. Second thing I want you to think about, I want you to notice secondly, he saw the majesty and preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he saw Jesus glorified. Think of that, folks. Look down, please, at verse 17. Look at verse 17. It says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." Chapter 1, verse 17. "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." I remember back in the 60s and the 70s, you know, all these charismatic guys on TV started one-upping each other about their visit with Jesus in the night. You know, and I heard them say, I listened to what they had to say. And I heard them say, I'm talking about Oral Roberts, and Swaggart and all the rest of them. I remember Swaggart one night talking about how he was driving down the road and Jesus came and sat in a passenger seat. And he said that they just, you know, he just kept driving and they had this long conversation about how he was to, you know, get a bunch of money from America and do all this stuff, you know. And I thought, wow, that sure is different from what John experienced when he saw Jesus. John didn't come out of the book of the Revelation chapter 1 and say, okay, folks, we need to take an offering. Amen. No, John said, I fell at his feet as though dead. You say, well, if it wasn't Jesus, who did he see? You do the math. Can I remind you that Satan can transform himself as an angel of light?
That's right.
It wasn't our Savior he saw, because he wouldn't have been able to keep driving down the road. No, sir. I remember another one was talking, and he said that he was in his bed, and Jesus came and sat on the end of his bed, and they sat there and talked. And I paid close attention. You sat there in your bed and talked? In other words, you just pushed yourself back and leaned against the headboard while Jesus was sitting at the foot of your bed? I got a Hebrew word for that. Baloney. No way. No, John fell at his feet as though dead. I'll guarantee you, folks, if you saw the glorified Son of God, you wouldn't be sitting there in your bed. No, so you'd be on your face. Jesus is the preeminent figure in all of time and eternity. And overshadowing all that has happened or that will happen, overshadowing all of it, is the majesty and the splendor of the Son of God. Just think about it. amid all of these amazing scenes that we see in this book, amid the strange and the glorious and sometimes terrible and fierce personalities that appear, in spite of the forces that come out of the pages in this vision, in spite of all of it or on top of all of it, Jesus towers above them all. In this book, John saw beasts. He saw dragons. He saw devils. He saw confederated powers of darkness. He saw creatures that came right out of the very pits of hell to fight against men and against God. And each and every one was defeated, and Jesus rules and reigns on high. That's what John saw. Oh, my friends, just think of it. You're on the winning side if Jesus is your Savior. Satan and hell throw everything they've got at the Lord Jesus in this book, and he overcomes them all. He defeats them all. And in the end, he casts them into the lake of fire and rules and reigns forever. And this Jesus John saw was the same Jesus he knew, but he was different. That is what the Bible tells us about Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But remember, when Jesus was here on the earth, we are told that John, in the upper room on the eve of the crucifixion, laid his head over on Christ's chest and heard his heartbeat. But now, John sees him standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, the church, and he has seven stars in his hand, and his countenance was like a flaming sun, and out of his mouth proceeded a sharp two-edged sword. So just think for a second of who this was that John saw. Was it Jesus? Oh, yes. But think of who he saw. The one he saw was the glorified creator of everything. Everything. This is Christ, the ruler of the nations, the one whom the prophet says will break the nations like a potter's vessel. This is the Christ who directs the movements of history. This is the Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. This is the Son of God. This is, verse 18 of chapter 1, the one who has the keys. And when you have the keys, you have the control. Right? When you've got the keys, you've got the control. This right here in my pocket is the key to my car. And it's in my pocket. I have the control. Not you. You don't have the key. My car right now is locked. You can't get in. You can't get in. I've got the key. If you do get in, what good's it going to do you? It ain't going to start without the key. When you have the keys, you have the control. And let me tell you something, folks. The Democrats don't have the control. And the educators don't have the keys. The Democrats don't have the keys. The scientists don't have the keys. Oh, they come out with a good one this week. 200,000 years ago, we all came from two parents, a male and a female. But it was 200,000 years ago. That was their story this week. 200,000 years ago. Now, how about 6,000 years ago? And we all came from Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Amen. Scientists don't have the keys. Wall Street bankers don't have the keys. The Rothschilds don't have the keys. The Bushes don't have the keys. The Clintons, praise the Lord, don't have the keys. The Obamas don't have the keys, but Jesus does. And I'm telling you, when you have the keys, you're in control. And John turned around and saw the preeminent Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all of his majesty, splendor, and glory. And when he did, he fell on his face. And then one last thing. John saw the final struggle between good and evil. And he wrote it down. He saw it. Oh, how men and the devil have stood to fight against God. And you know, when you think about it, the Bible is a record of that struggle. From Adam and Eve all the way to the great white throne judgment, the struggle has been fought. Here in Revelation, finally, all of the unbelief and all of the apostasies and all of the rebellions and all of the conspiracies against God are all going to be dealt with, and they're all going to be defeated. We sit here today and we watch the injustices. We watch the cheating. We watch the backstabbing and the lying and the crimes that those in politics and those in churches across the world commit. And we wonder, how long, O Lord, how long? But do not despair, dear friends. The day of reckoning is coming. John saw it. He saw it. In chapter 16 and verse 17, after all the seals had been broken, and after all the trumpets had been blared, and after all the bowls had been poured out, a voice says, and everybody on the earth will hear it, "It is done. It is done." Think about it. Seven seals broken, and great wrath poured out. Seven trumpets sounded, and devastation such as the world has never seen before comes upon this earth and upon mankind. And then seven bowls of God's wrath are poured out upon this earth and upon mankind. God's answer to the unbelief is destruction. And my dear friend, you best not side with the devil in all this, because he loses. He loses. You best not side with the atheist. He loses. You best not side with the liberal who denies Jesus. He loses. Jesus on the cross cried, "It is finished." And he, by saying that, signified that a way of salvation was provided for all of mankind by a loving and compassionate Savior who died for them on Calvary's cross. And that cry is now answered by this cry of triumph: "It is done." The wrath, the judgment, the rebellion is all put down. Men are hiding from the wrath of him that sits upon the throne. It is done. And that paves the way for what we read in chapter 19. When John said, "And the heavens were opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness does he judge and make war." John saw the victorious Son of the living God riding out of heaven with the Word of God as his sword. And John saw sin wiped out. John saw the devil destroyed. He saw false religion mowed over. He saw the Lord Jesus finally ridding this world of all that has been ruining and polluting mankind since the devil started. Man started out in a garden. John saw man ending up in a city. A city built by God. A city of gold. A city run by the God of the universe. And I don't know about you, Christian, but I'm thankful that we've got this book of the Revelation in our Bible to show us that this old world is not all that there is. No, sir, there is hope beyond the grave. There is a God who has a perfect plan for mankind. And the book closes with Jesus saying to John, John, behold, I come quickly. And answering the Lord Jesus, John gave a brief final prayer and said, and these are the last words in the Bible, even so come, Lord Jesus. Wow, what a book. What a book. I'm ready for him to come. How about you?